Thanks, Kevin. Well, welcome, everybody. We're in the middle of a series, and the series is, what do I say? Or what should I say? And next week, Barton's going to finish off this series and then start a new series in 1 Corinthians 15 that will take us all the way to Easter. And so this morning, we're going to be in the middle of the series, and we're going to be talking about how to have everyday conversations with Jesus. How do we talk about Jesus with other people? And actually, I think I got the best part of the series. So the first part of the series, we got to talk about God, the creator, the ruler of all things. And then last week, sin, and we rejected his rule. And this week, we get to talk about the answer to our rejection and what Jesus did to save us. But this morning, I'm praying that we have an urgency to tell others about Jesus. That you don't just come this morning and go, that was a great message. But this morning, I want you to know that last year, 250,000 people died in Canada alone and didn't hear about Jesus. That there's people that God have put in your life that God wants you to talk and have these conversations with. And so how do we do that? Do you feel an urgency to do that? So you may be sipping on a coffee or an espresso or having an Earl Grey tea, and out of nowhere, your friend says, what do you believe? That's a great introduction to what we're talking about. This actually happened. I got a knock out of nowhere, and someone came in, and they wanted to know more about Jesus. And often we get awkward, or we don't know what to say, or we fumble, and we don't really give them a clear answer. Sometimes people come to us for advice, and they may be going through all kinds of problems at work or problems at home. And we give them advice and we give them support, but we give them everything but Jesus. And I know at times I've done that. That people have come and, you know, this one lady was complaining about her husband, rightfully so. And we go, yeah, oh, that's horrible. Yeah, that guy's a jerk. And then others are saying, you know, I'm going through this difficult time with my kids. You know, my teenager did this. Can you believe it? Oh, yeah, that's awful. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Rather than pointing them to Jesus. You know, we're so good at giving advice. We're so good at giving all kinds of answers except for the very answer that they need, Jesus. So at times, we take the easy way out. We don't listen to what the Spirit of God is telling us, where we need to have a conversation that can lead them to the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm not saying don't support people, don't love on them, don't help them get through trials and tribulations, but give them the very thing that they need. So how do we do that? A guy named Bo Corsetto says, if a person is asking about Jesus, sit down with them. Have a meal with them. Welcome them into your home. But also open up a Bible. Show them who Jesus is in the very words that God has given us. Show them the encounters that he has had with those who didn't believe, with those who betrayed him, with those who hurt him. Show them God's word. Many times, we're scared to do that. We're afraid. What will happen? It might get awkward. We're not sure if we're going to lose a friend, or they may think you're crazy. And so we have this fear that holds us back. This morning, we're not going to focus on the fear, where we're going to focus on the knowledge of what do we say. So in order to talk about Jesus in everyday conversations, we must be able to tell people who Jesus is. So let's open our Bibles. You've heard this passage twice today. You've heard it in the testimony and again read. And I think it's a great starting point for us. John 14, 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, notice Jesus is telling us who he is. He's telling us he is the way. So the question is, he is the way to what? He's saying, no one comes to the Father except through me. So remember last week, as a result of our rebellion, as a result of our betrayal against God, we were separated. A wall went up. Our chair turned away from God. And we needed a way back to God. So Jesus is saying, I am the mediator. I am the authority that can lead you back, in which that wall can be broken down. Oh, that is good news. Oh, we need to tell people that he is the way back. He is the reason we can restore that relationship with God, that he can rescue us. He can bridge that separation, that connection that we so desperately need. Oh, he is the way. He is the way to experiencing freedom, the way to experiencing a vibrant relationship with God. He is the authority that we need to know. He is the one who decides who will be in heaven and who will not. But the good news is, Jesus doesn't just point to the way. He shows us the way. He walks with us to the Father. He doesn't abandon us. He comes down from heaven to earth. He gets on our level and shows us back. He shows us the way. Let me illustrate it this way. In our old church, we got a phone call from the son of the Aquilini family. And the Aquilinis is the family that owns the Vancouver Canucks. And he was inviting one of the pastors to come and see the Canucks game. And so he got access to the owner's box. He got to sit above everyone else. He got to enjoy all of what they had to offer. There's appetizers, there was drinks, they had special screens. And so when the pastor came with the son, he got access to all of this, all these privileges. In the corner of the room was the father. He didn't say much. But he too was open to talking with the pastor. He was open to inviting others in. So the pastor came to a second game, and this time, through knowing the son, invited a boy from our church who was dying of leukemia. The boy was about 10 years old. So again, he brought the boy with him to the owner's box. They got to watch the game. He was quite excited. He got to talk to the father. But not only that, the father then said, hey, Braden was his name, do you want to meet the players? Oh, yeah. And so he brought the boy down after the game, and he got to meet Trevor Linden. He got a picture with Trevor Linden. Later on, the boy died. I remember being at his funeral, and one of the pictures they put up on the screen was him with Trevor Linden. How amazing was that? But you see, the boy had no access without knowing the right person who introduced him to the son of the Aquilini family. And it is our job to introduce others to Christ because we have access to God. Another way of explaining it is Jesus is telling us there is only one way, one combination that opens up the door to God. But on the flip side, the world is saying there's multiple ways. But both these statements cannot be true. Either Christianity is 100% true or 100% false. And then we get into these arguments about absolute truth versus subjective truth. And this could be one of the barriers when we're talking with our friends. What is true for you is not true for me. There's nothing concrete when we get into those types of arguments. This is where I stop. I pray. I say, Spirit of God, reveal yourself in this conversation. One of the illustrations that I've used is a chair. A chair has four legs. That is concrete. That is absolute. Then you get into the conversation of, well, are you sure it has four legs? Well, yes, I'm sitting on the chair and there's four legs holding me up. Well, can you really, really be sure? Well, yes, I can see it. I can know it. That's how we need to talk about Christ, is we can be sure that there is one way to God. And if that is not true, then all of Christianity falls. This exclusive statement by Jesus must not be ignored. We need to talk about it. Peter makes the exact same claim in Acts 4:12. He says, salvation is found in no one else, that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Lee Strobel says this, this claim rankles people like nothing else. It's been called narrow-minded. It's been called bigoted. It's been called snobbish. Some of you are seekers, and something inside of you chafes at the idea that Jesus is the only way to God, for you are living in a world where there seems to be endless options in virtually every area of life. For some of you, this is a stumbling block to faith. We need to explain to others that Jesus is the only way to God. Next, we need to talk about Jesus is the truth. Truth is defined by the real facts about something. That God gives us the real facts about who Jesus is, who God is through his word. Jesus is the perfect example of truth. This means that we can look to Jesus to find truth. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus becomes God in flesh to show us what truth is, to show us the way. Think of it as railroad tracks. The tracks lead somewhere. And Satan wants to do everything in his power to get us off those tracks. But God lays down those tracks through Jesus Christ so that we can follow them all the way to God. But there's a truth here. Jesus is God. Jesus has two natures. He's fully God and fully man. Each nature is full and complete. Why? It's because he came down to show us truth, to show us that he's the way. Jesus knows everything. He's all powerful. He doesn't need to depend on anything outside of himself. He rules over everything. He was there at creation and created. One of the barriers to Jesus is a common view of God that we call pantheism. It means that God is distant, that God is not personal. It says this: God is nothing more than a force or an energy of the universe. He's just the basic underlying force. He is the tree. He is the dirt. He is removed from us. But the Bible says the exact opposite. He declares that God is a person who sent his son to earth, who we could have a relationship with, because he cares about us. So remember this: when we're having a conversation with our friends, we need to talk about God is personal. God wants to know you. God wants to show you truth. He is not removed. He is not leaving you alone. He is truth that wants to be known. And the next, he describes himself as life. We need to communicate that he is the source of life. And what do we mean by that? He's the source of spiritual life, eternal life. He's the source of where we get our salvation. If you have the Son, you have life. Do we know what that means? John Piper says this: union with Jesus is everything. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. In him is life. So if you have him, you have life. If you don't, you reject life. So as we've seen, we need to talk about who Jesus is. He's the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Next, we need to talk about what Jesus did. What Jesus did. Essentially, we need to explain the cross. We need to tell other people what he accomplished on the cross. Without the cross, there is nothing. Our understanding of what Jesus did on the cross is a key component to opening the door to life. Look with me again at Romans 5:8, which says, "But God shows us his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We need to understand what it took on the cross so that we could know the Father. God's unbelievable love fixed the situation. He fixed the brokenness. He fixed what we could not fix. Oh, he showed us great, deep love by doing what he did. The Bible calls it agape love, a sacrificial love, a love that cost everything. Oh, we know love. We love our friends. We love our spouse, but would you die for them? Maybe. But Christ did so much more. He gave up his position. He came from heaven. He came down and lived amongst us. And he got up on a cross because he loved us, because he wanted us to know him. And he gave his life. He gave his life for those without strength. He gave his life for those who rebelled. He gave his life for those who were enemies against God, those who betrayed him, those who spit in his face. He gave his life for us. As we continue to do our own thing, as we continue to not follow God in every area of our life, Jesus, as Hebrews 4:15 says, was sinless. He was tempted, but never sinned. Therefore, he was the only sufficient payment for our sin. And he pardoned us as he died for us. Do we know this great love? Do we understand what it took, that it cost God everything? Billy Graham says this: God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, I love you. Can you tell your friends that God loves them? He proved it. Another way to explain it is through the great three transfers, is what we call it. It condenses a lot of theology into three terms. I'm going to quickly go over them. The first transfer is Adam's sin was transferred to us. We talked about that last week. Adam's sin was transferred to us. Then our sin was transferred to Christ. And then Christ's righteousness was then transferred back to us. So our sin was transferred from Adam to us. Romans 5:12 talks about it. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. So we are like Adam. We rejected God's authority. We rejected God's rule. And because of our sin, both individually and collectively, we are separated from God. So God saw us in that place, and he died for us. Then our sin was transferred to Jesus on the cross, who was payment for our rebellion. He absorbed the wrath of God. He absorbed the punishment. And Jesus on the cross accomplished what we couldn't. And on the cross, Christ's righteousness was then transferred back to us. God declared us to be just or righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. The legal term is he acquitted us. He declared us innocent for the crimes that we committed against God. The work of God's mercy is to raise us up with Christ. To sum it up, Jesus is my Savior, not my religion. Can we explain that to people? Do we understand what God did, what lengths he went to save us? Because he loves us, because he wants a relationship with us. Lastly, we need to tell others that Jesus is for today. This matters now. Look with me at Ephesians 2:4-6. To which says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Oh, I love this verse. We need to tell people that their lives can be turned around today. That the Spirit of God makes us alive when we ask him to come and take over. When we surrender ourselves, when we turn our chair back to him, we can reconnect. And where there's death, where there's brokenness, where there's bondage, God can bring us alive and bring us freedom out of that. We need to talk about this. We need to tell people that today, God just doesn't want to leave us in our brokenness. He doesn't want to leave us in our state of rebellion against him. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead. Jesus offers us new life, both now and eternally. He offers us a fresh start. He comes alive within us and gives us the direction. He shows us the way to the Father. He shows us how to live life now. Do you feel alive spiritually? No? Then you need to go to Christ. You need to ask him to change what's going on inside. And once that happens, are you bringing life to others? Are you talking about Jesus? Are you talking about what he means to you, what he's done in your life? Or are you keeping it quiet? We need to bring life to others that need it. Being alive in Christ means that you're moving away from your rebellious ways. It means that the way that didn't work before is not the way that we continue in. We repattern our life around what God has told us, around truth. So if we're not finding victory in our life, it's because we're not going to Jesus. It's something we need to do every day, isn't it? R.C. Sproul says, "I really believe that the North American church needs a reminder of what it means to be alive in Christ and how to thrive as a Christian. I see so many defeated Christians out there whose faith is struggling and are living like they are defeated and dead. I want you to know a little secret. You don't have to live that way." Oh, I love that. Jeff Vanderstelt puts it another way. We still have places in our life where we don't believe God. There are spaces where we don't trust his word and don't believe that what he accomplished in Jesus Christ is enough to deal with our past and what we are facing in this moment and the next. Oh, when realized his great love, it changes the way we relate to each other. It changes the way we use our money. It changes the way we work, the way we do family, the way we do marriage. It affects all areas of our life. And it should change the conversation that you're having at the coffee shop or at the dinner table with those who don't know Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. This power gives us what we need to live every day. It will help us defeat sinful habits. It will help us find freedom. It will help us from living a life in despair. Every person needs to hear the good news that Jesus forgives them of their sin. Can you share this? What's holding you back? There's people who need victory. There's people that need to be lifted up with Christ. There's people who need his Spirit. Oh, he asked us to talk about the good news. Can we do it, church? Because it is good news. So in closing, if someone asks you about faith, what will you say? Can you talk about who Jesus is? Can you talk about what he's done for you and them? Can you talk about the difference that he makes today? Let's pray. The worship team could come forward. God, we just thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that you make us alive and that we have something to talk about. And so, God, I just pray that you would give us the courage, the words to have those conversations, that those people in our lives that desperately need to know you, that we would pray for them, that we would invite them into a conversation, and that we would invest. Oh, God, help us to know the urgency. That people don't know you, they're hurting, they're dying, and they really need this good news. So use us, the church, God. Help us to pass on this good news. Help us to be bold. Help us to know who you are deeply in our own hearts so that we can tell others. In Jesus' name, amen.